up? We got the pre-roll to end all pre-rolls. This is my favorite thing ever. Support for JRVP is brought to you by Manscaped, who is best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Everyone knows that. But here's the big news. Manscaped just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times. Who knew smelling this good could feel this good too? Mom, why didn't you tell me about this? Why didn't no one say anything until Manscaped? They're trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. I will have more on this later.
I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, we've got Papa John, the return, your Pittsburgh Penguins, and a brand new segment coming up on episode 95 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP,
Junior Vice President.
Why do we close people's eyes when we discover their bodies after they die? Because children should be seen and not heard.
Jeselnik looking free and easy. The hair is flying. The glee with which you read that Manscaped ad, you looked like a younger man. It's good to see.
I've been very excited all day. It's been a good day for me. I showered today, washed the hair, conditioned it, everything. I haven't been sleeping that well in the past couple of days. And my friend took Rami to the dog park for like 4 hours this morning. I woke up at like 9 to take him out. And they're like, don't worry, I got it. And it made everything better. I slept till like 11 or almost noon for the first time in months. I absolutely needed it. But it's been a good week. I don't want to make it sound like I was like going through a depression. I finally got sleep. It was just nice to sleep in one day. But I've been very happy. But I took Rummy on a lot of adventures this week, and I got in my first a dog confrontation, confrontation over my dog, not like two dogs fighting. I'm walking Rummy on this trail, and I've got a 15-foot leash that I use, so he can like move all over. And he's just hunting, you know, he's not bothering anybody. If he sees another dog, he's like, I can either reel him in pretty quickly, or Rummy ignores the dog. But I'm walking. Whenever we go around a corner, I'm like, I hope we don't run into somebody who's scared of dogs. And we run into the woman who was the most scared of dogs I've ever seen. Come around the corner, and she's wearing two masks, so I can't understand if she's admiring Rummy and like saying nice things, or I'm in trouble. And I find out like after a while, she's repeated the same phrase like 10 times, be respectful. And so I'm like, okay, you don't like this dog. I'm like reeling him in. And I know enough not to try to explain like he's a good dog. He's not going to bite you or anything, because people always hate that. But she starts screaming about my leash. She's like, that's not a legal leash. And I have no idea what she's talking about. I'm like, I want this over with. She's like, it's not a legal leash. That's too long. The leash law is 4 feet.
What?
And I know that's a lie. I know that's wrong. There's no way it's 4 feet. If she had said 6, I would have been like, yeah. And we Googled it afterwards. It turns out it is 6. She's like 4 feet. So now I know she's like crazy. And she just keeps on screaming. Even though I've passed her now. And the dog is not even, he's still looking at her, but like not threatening. Just like, what's this lady yelling about? And she keeps screaming, be respectful. Be respectful. And I know that I'm the asshole in the situation. I should have had my dog more under control if someone's scared on a public trail. But she was also the one that was yelling the whole time. And it was like, it took everything in my power not to start a fight. I was like, just get out of here. You're probably in the wrong. But now every time I take Rummy for a walk, I'm ready for confrontation.
Well, did you consider, you know, starting to be respectful?
I mean, there's like respectful, putting him on a 4-foot leash and taking him for a hike. Hell, that's not respectful enough. I try to be as careful as I can, but sometimes coming around a corner, you're going to run into a dog. There's lots of people who take the dog off leash all the time. And yeah. I love doing that with Rummy, but I'm very careful of it and respectful. And if I see someone coming, I put him back on the leash. So I'm not that bad. But a 15-foot leash, if he's barking at people, yes, that would be disrespectful. But he just wants to sniff the grass, try to eat a lizard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my Emiko once told, you know, Walker, you know, you're safe as long as they're on a leash. And so now, whether the dog's small or large, like if the dog is off his leash, that is the signal for him to just be completely terrified.
Really?
See, it's just silly.
I think dogs off, they should have taught them that off leash you're going to be okay, because then it's like the owner must be responsible like me. And now that you can, he's kind of wearing me right. I had to give him a treat before we started the podcast because he was barking at me to play. You can see him moving around in the background a little bit. Normally he just lays there and is content while I work.
Mm. You seem like you're in a good mood. I mean, the fact that you didn't try to knock out this lady is a good sign. I don't know. Should I be not worried about you, but everyone's struggling here in the pandemic. We're 12 months deep. How, you know, I'm wondering if Jeselnik's, you know, getting through.
We're coming up on the year anniversary of like this all shutting down. Like I think of it as March 11th was my last Largo show, you know, before everything went to hell. So, yeah.
Erica and I were there for you, right?
Yeah. I think, yeah. Were you guys there for that? Yeah, you both
were. We were, yeah.
Yeah, like in my feelings a little bit, just like, I can't believe this has been a year, but I don't know. I keep on trucking. I got the dog. You know, I got a new computer that I thought would be technical difficulties today, but no, I dropped mine. I've never dropped a computer before. I've never broken one, but I dropped this one. So I had to go to the Apple store, which sucked. I went to the Grove and I'm like, there won't be many people there. It's a pandemic. And it was packed. It was packed. I had to wait in line. I had like a reservation and everything, and I still had to wait. The world is weird. I've been like staying in and staying on like in nature and stuff. That going to a mall was crazy.
Everywhere was crazy. Is pretty packed now in LA. I think it's kind of it's open season.
I don't know.
People are tired of it.
I see people, more people out, but more people double masking, which is weird. It's like they've accepted that, but I have not been in a restaurant. We've got to go to a restaurant at the end of the month, and it'll be my first time eating anywhere in a year.
Outdoors. Yeah, we're going to meet our friend. I did think, though, that that's a sign that you're ready to open it up a little bit. I don't know. Yeah.
I've never been scared. It just seems like what you're not supposed to do. So when I see people doing it, I'm like, how are you not just talking about how you shouldn't be doing this the whole time? You know, like when I see people at a bar, like no masks on, I'm like, how do you feel safe at all right now? It would just feel weird. Like that's what you're doing it for, to get some hot wings. It's it seems like a crazy time to risk it. Brought the computer home, went to set it up, and I realized I do not know how to. I like wireless printers to me are magical. I own a printer, but I have no idea. I've like downloaded the software and everything you have to do, and I can't get it to. I can't get it to work. So I still have like my old computer from like three computers ago that has a USB port that plugs into my printer and I print things.
Man.
You're just an old man. I mean, even printers in general feels like an old thing. Although you do need a printer in your life.
Every time I've had a job where I need a printer, they're just like, here's the printer code. Put that in and you're like, and then it'll just print whenever you do it. And I don't know why that code's not coming up. But I assume I have to buy a new printer. That used to be what I would do, is I'd buy a printer, and when it ran out of ink, I'd just never use a printer for like a year. And then I'd buy a new printer. But this last time I bought a printer and bought like eight printer cartridges. So I wouldn't do that. But now I might have to buy a new printer just to be able to set up wireless. It seems ridiculous I don't have it. Like, do you have it in your house?
Yeah, Emika's got it on her computer, so I just send her things to print for me. So I'm not really operating at a higher efficiency than you.
Oh, that's like the only way you could cuck yourself, printing out, like printing out a work email, is having your wife do it. Erica, you're in Florida?
Yes, I'm at my parents' place in Crystal River.
I only bring that up because last week Erica asked if we could do it earlier. Because she's in Florida, and it's 7:30 our time.
Yeah,
10:30 Erica's time. But Greg said absolutely not. Didn't even
He goes, I wanted to go later. Actually, we're all like, okay.
He's like, yeah,
I've got a family. I've got a family.
But it's been a year. I haven't seen my family for a year. And Greg's like, 7:00.
I mean, we would happily have. You know, Coach T fill in.
He doesn't work for all things comedy.
We don't know if he's even alive. Coach T might be dead. And we pay you independently. You're not really a part of the all things comedy family. You're part of the Jezel Corp family.
Right.
Which is a stronger family.
Thank you,
Anthony. Which is tighter knit.
We could have had Emma step in. She could use some cash. You know, your buddy.
Why are you throwing Emma under the bus? Like she telling people that she could use some cash. She's doing fine. She married a guy with a government job.
Yeah,
they're going to be okay. He's stealing everything he can get. Anything that's not nailed down, he's walking out of there with. I don't know. That's all I know about him, is he's a thief. And he's married to our friend Emma. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? Just one. Be respectful. And that was, did we get any notes? And now it's time for
ad copy.
Everyone knows Manscaped has the perfect package 3.0 for all your below the waist grooming needs, but they don't stop there. Like, they could have just stopped at trimming the hair, but they just said, let's keep going. Let's go deeper into the skin. Complete your grooming game with the new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. With the same signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas, this cologne, and they're calling it cologne, is a perfect complement to the collection. Light, it's not too heavy, it's not going to weigh your junk down, you know? Approachable, it says here. It's not like a keep away kind of scent. It's like, hey, if you were curious before, like, this is going to bring you in. This is going to bring you into the kill zone. And it's gentlemanly in all the right ways. Think of it as your wingman for the night to keep you fresh and ready for anything. Like, think about it as your friend, but your friend's job all night is just to keep your lower area fresh and ready for anything throughout the night. It's best calming. Friend. It says calming, inviting. Like, it's not going to hype you up too much when you put it on. It'll chill you out. But it's inviting. You know what I mean? It says, hey, come here. Check this out. See what I taste like. This signature scent introduces a light citrus burst. I swear to God, they use the word burst. Before setting into the anchoring notes of vetiver. I've never heard of vetiver. That's how good it smells. And a woodsy masculine finish. None of this feminine deodorant from Manscaped. It's a 50 milliliter spray cologne. And even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. For all you vegans out there who are spraying this stuff on, it's in a beautifully designed glass bottle. You'd think they wouldn't put it in a glass bottle. You think it'd be safety first, but I feel it's got to be thick. Glass bottle, so it looks good, so you can leave it out and be like, look what I got. Look what you're going to be smelling in about 5 minutes. You can use Manscaped Refined Cologne to complete your set. And so great. It smells great anytime, anywhere. It's time. Erica, do you know what time it is right now? It's time to feel sexy. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. Your body will thank you. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code JRVP at manscaped.com. Look good, smell good, feel good with Manscaped. I've written comedy for a while, but writing the ad copy for that cologne is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like,
The smell is not, like, immediately you kind of think, I guess that it, you know, it makes sense to put cologne down there, but I immediately thought that the cologne would be sort like almost like a ball sweat cologne, which that would not be good.
What do you mean? Like, why? It would smell like, so it would smell like you just worked out. Like, exactly. Time to go to I was working out so hard. That's why it smells like that. It's not, it didn't come in a can. You can't it's get like, yeah, smell in a can.
It's like the smell of like your bicycle shorts after you just, you know, did 30 minutes on the Peloton.
I mean, 30 minutes doesn't sound like a long time. Sounds like pretty short. But also, like, do you not wear underwear with your bicycle shorts?
No, you're not supposed to. I had to Google this. You don't.
I would just say, is that cologne?
Like, it's like...
like, take a shower. I think this must just be the most amazing product of all time. To have the...
It sounds like you clearly need it, Greg.
Yeah, I could definitely use it.
If we got you some, would you try it and then have Emeka like give us a review on the air? Tell us if it's inviting or not.
I mean, I could try. I mean, she did suggest to me. I guess this could have been a note from the week to stop using my children as props for like weird games of like how much money would you play for ransom? And this feels like using her as a prop. But sure, yeah, let's do it.
Erica, is there like an equivalent? Like if your girlfriend got this, would you put this on yourself?
Probably not.
As like a little joke.
You know what I mean? Joke? Yeah,
what if
for
we
sure.
What if we had the people at Manscaped send you like two walnuts they just sprayed with this? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm down. It's worth trying.
go get, I mean, 20% off is insane for that sort of, for that, just the comfort of having your wingman with you. Hey, Anthony, you didn't say you were bringing a plus one. Oh, you didn't know about my wingman? My wingman keeps me fresh down there all night long. But now I have cologne, so I can just show up by myself. And now that was
ad copy.
Maybe our longest ever. Let's take it to a place that's not interested in commercial needs. Let's take it down to Erica's Corner. Erica Temposi hits the triple double. She's a producer. She's a performer, and she weighs in the three digits. We like her. Yeah. We've had her on forever. We let her fly to the other side of the country and then make her stay up really late. You'll be up to like what, 1:30?
Yeah, doing it's this? All right though.
Yeah, putting this out and like getting yelled at by people online for not having it out by midnight. But thank you for staying up late for this. We like to let her carve out a little section for herself so that when she's editing it, she has something that she can be interested in. We like to let her call out Erica's Corner. So what do you have for us? Like an email or a game or what?
Yeah, we got an email today, which the email is jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com. And Zach asks, I love it when Anthony and Greg dish out relationship advice, and it just so happens that I need some advice desperately. I'm in my first relationship, and I am struggling with the fact that I appear to be much more into my boyfriend than he is into me. The biggest discrepancy is how often we would like to see each other. He seems to be content with only seeing me once a week, but I want to see him almost daily. What would Greg and Anthony suggest to people who have fallen a little too hard for someone?
Ooh.
I mean, this is a different question if it's not my first relationship. You know what I mean? I feel like everyone's first relationship, they kind of do this. They make this, or most people, I would think, make this mistake. They're like, oh, this is the one. And they go too hard. But if it's your first, you're pretty young. So I would say just go for it and get your heart broken. Because there's no way this guy's as into you as you are into him. Right. He's just not that into you. They wrote a book about it and made a movie. That I don't know if they did a sequel, but they should.
He's still not into you.
But yeah, there's no way. Because I've been in relationships where I've been like, I don't want this person around me as much as they want to be around me. Actually, that's pretty much every relationship.
I was going to say that this question reminded me a little bit of Jeselnik. I just feel like, yeah, you're often in relationships where you're looking for once a week.
Once a week is perfect.
Yeah, and they're looking for more often. And I like that. I like giving relationship advice too.
I don't need to take my car into the mechanic every day. You know what I mean? Once in a while, you know, if I hear like some clanking, there's some problems. It doesn't sound right. Then I take it in. But this, take your car in and hang out and talk to your mechanic is for the birds.
Well,
that metaphor works front to back.
What an analogy.
It doesn't make any sense. And it never works out for the Zachs of the world in this situation. So my advice would be just like, know that, start like being realistic with your expectations and letting yourself down now. Like he's never, as Anthony said, you'll never make up that gap where he's going to be more into you like that. That's over. So either decide if that's worth it or just, sort of know it getting going in. I think Anthony gave pretty good advice.
Like you can find someone who's super into, wants to see you every day that you just want to see once a week. You know what I mean? It's a Twilight Zone type thing. It's one or the other. I think it's like, how much are you willing to suffer? How much are you willing to put up with? But know that you cannot bother this person. If they want once a week, you can call them once. You can think about them 7 days a week, but you can only hang with them one. Just try to make the most of it and play it cool. You know what I mean? In case this guy's a stud.
Yeah, like the playing a cool thing it's all natural, but it's like if you want to hang out with someone every day and they don't want to hang out with you every day, then kind of, you know, fuck them in the long run.
But you can feel that energy when someone wants to hang out with you more, when you're like, okay, this date is over, and that you can feel that energy that if you're just not giving it off, feel like, I know that I'm going to leave at 10 o'clock tonight. Even if they ask me to stay to 10:30, that's playing it cool and you'll get more out of it. It just depends on how into the relationship you are. But I think I nailed it. I think I could have a relationship podcast where I got to keep all the money, you know, where I didn't split it up with people. And I think it would probably be just as popular, if not more popular.
I like us answering questions. I feel like we're like a much less problematic version of Dr. Drew and Adam Carolla.
Oh, 100%. That would
be like who would have thought that Dr. Drew would be the more problematic, you know, part of that tandem? But that's where we're at. You can come to us for less problematic answers.
It hurts though when you really care about someone and fall for someone and it just doesn't feel like it's reciprocated the same way. Sure. So my heart goes out to you, Zach, because that it sucks. It does. It sucks.
Yeah. Good luck, Zach. That was advice from me and Greg and then Erica venting. Erica like projecting onto you.
Erica is Zach's boyfriend.
And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond. And now it's time for a curveball. We've got a new segment. We'll see how it goes. And sometimes a segment you can knock it out of the park on the first one, and then you like realize that you can't do it every week. But Greg texted me this week, and I was like, "Yeah, this is great. It's awesome." And we've decided to call it
Trading Places, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
That's right. The segment is called Trading Places, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. I thought of that name.
Yeah, that was not my name.
That was not his name. Because Greg was like, what if we do a thing where I talk about something in my life and you say how you would react and then you do the same back to me? And I was like, oh, cool. We can call it Trading Places or like Life Swap. And then Trading Places, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. I thought of that while I was watching Coming to America, the Coming to America sequel, which, oh, I hated it. So Greg, you said this is your idea, so you give me the moment in your life. And were you inspired by this moment in your life to make the segment, or were you what would Anthony do? Okay.
And I've done it a couple times. It's, you know, just wondering what you'd do as a parent. But yeah, that was the idea. And what would Anthony do? That could also be the name of the segment, but I like our name better. All right. So so the scenario, we're at a park. And the kids
who's
are
we?
Playing.
Am I with
no, me and the kids, the three of us are at the park. Me and my two
now,
kids.
Now I'm sorry to keep having you explain it, but I gotta be specific here. So now like from start to finish, am I you? Is it just like me with your kids, or is it like you're you and then at this moment of decision I turn into you? You know what I mean? Should I be imagining myself in this?
Is it like Altered Beast? I guess.
Is it Altered Beast?
But am I didn't am I think you about the, it that way.
Am I?
Yeah. What would you do as a parent?
The story. Yes. Yeah, so, okay. So yeah. I'm you. This.
Yeah.
Whole
you're
way
me. Through. Okay. You're me. Okay. So we're at the park, and you know the kids are playing hide and seek. It's like a big park where they probably get like a little too far away. I'm not exactly sure where they are, and you know some parents. You know,
my children are running away from me. Is what you're saying?
A little bit. They're playing hide and seek, and it's time to go. Like I want to go, and I've got Alice. But Walker's still hiding, and like we can't find him initially. And so we start like yelling for him, and we do see where he is. He's kind of far away, but he won't come to us. He just like refuses to. Meanwhile, in between us and him, there's a number of like bushes and grass, and there's also like a homeless guy in like a walkway in between us and Walker, who's closer to the thing. And at this point, when it's happening, the homeless guy just starts like kind of muttering things at me. And this is about what he was saying. He was just like, "Hey, it's your daddy. You know, don't lose your daddy, super daddy. Gotta have the daddy," you know, and just starts like mumbling weird things like to me and Walker at the same time. What would Anthony do?
I mean, my first instinct right off the top of my head was to start beatboxing. You know, to start beatboxing, the guy had like kind of a beat to rhyme to. Yeah, I think that's what I would do for sure. And then Walker would hear the beatboxing and know that you don't end up homeless. You know, I mean, that is, I maybe, like, how far away is Walker from me? And is he equidistant?
I mean, I'm sort of walking in that direction. I would say he's maybe like 100 feet from me, and the homeless guy's like halfway in between us. But it was just like a strange tone, because it was sort of sing song, and it's like, "Hey, it's daddy. You don't want to lose dad." And it was a little strange tone. You had to assess what was going on.
Then, I mean, beatboxing aside, I would kind of like talk to the homeless man, like in that way where you like in walking on Hollywood, you're talking to someone crazy. They're talking about your dog, and you just kind of have a pleasant conversation and respectful. to bring it back, but keep it moving. You know, keep it moving right along. So I'd be like, yeah, you know, being a dad, you know what I'm talking about. You probably have, you know, you back in the day were, and then get Walker and leave him Ellis and go. You know, you got to pay the toll.
That was sort of what I did. Sort of just gave a nod and just like, yeah. Well, I'm like trying to like quickly figure out, because I wasn't sure whether to tell Walker, come here. You know, should he go past him? But yeah, I more or less treat him that way. Or I could have been just like, I could have just like screamed at the top of my lung and just like started running at Walker. That would have been another option.
Some people do. Parents do that, I think, out of fear than more than like actual anger. But was there any part of you that thought like, let me alert my son that this is dangerous in some way that he needs to
know
right now? No,
no. But I was getting increasingly just be like, you know, I'm getting mad because he won't come, yeah. And I'm just
oh,
like,
I get like
what,
that
what,
with
what am I gonna do?
I get like that with Rummy all the time, where some like crazy person is like screaming at people on the street, and Rummy does not understand that we've got to keep moving past them, and we'll just like keep stopping. I've been walking with homeless people for blocks while Rummy stops and sniffs, and nothing ever happens. But it's I wish it was a nuclear option that was like, we need to go, without actually freaking out. Like if I yelled and ran away, he would come running with me. But no. So yeah, that's how I'd handle your life situation. Pretty similar to the way you would do it, minus the beatboxing, if you thought at all to beatbox. Mine for you, and I gave this some thought, this is just like you, you're just you. You get a flat tire in your car, you run over a nail in your car. What do you do?
I call the number that like comes with the car where they're
AAA or whatever.
Not AAA, but you know, there's like a thing in the dashboard or whatever, the glove compartment of like Mazda, where they'll come out and help you.
And then they put a spare on the car.
Yeah.
And then what do you do?
Then I go buy a new tire, right?
No. What a normal person would do, because I know you don't, I knew you did not know how to do this. Did we ever tell the story of the time that you tried to get like a group of homeless people to change your tire for you?
What?
I vaguely remember this. Yeah,
I remember your car, you got a flat tire outside of In-N-Out on Sunset, and you had no idea how to change a flat. No idea. And I'm not saying like I'm some big man. Like I think I have some idea of how to change, to put a spare on. But you weren't even going to try it, and offered a homeless person $5, $10 or whatever. And within 5 minutes, you have like 20 homeless people arguing over how to change a tire, arguing over how much everyone should make. Like they all wanted like $20.
This was like 20 years ago. This
was so long ago. Yeah.
Yeah. This was not during this LA adventure.
Do you know what I did when I you get the tire patched? It's much less expensive to patch a tire and then put it back on. You can't drive on the spare that long. I've learned that the hard way, breaking down on the way back from Reno 20 years ago. I got a flat tire at the beginning of the pandemic. Do you know what I did?
Still in the garage.
I left in the garage for almost a year. I just left. I did not drive my own car once for almost a whole year. And then finally was like, I've got to get this taken care of. But part of it was pandemic. Part of it was just like, I can Uber. I can do things. I don't need a car. Like I have to get a new car. My lease is up and then I have to pick a new one. I'm just getting the same one that I have. But I'm like, I could easily go carless. If it wasn't for Corona, I would feel comfortable not having a car and just Ubering everywhere.
Really? In LA, man, I like having a car. You have this crazy setup too, where you just, the car is just delivered to you. People do that for you. They get the car, everything's taken care of, and then they just like put it at your house. That sounds nice.
It's great. They come and get the old car. Take that. Yeah. Get yourself a businessman. You get yourself a Tom Carr. Shout out to Tom Carr.
That is what you suggested to me when I was like excited about this. I was like, yeah, well, I could get a business. Like, there's a reason I don't have a business manager that can just get me my car to my house without doing anything, because it's too expensive. So you were just like, oh yeah, I'll give you my business manager. You should do that.
There's no way. There's no way I specifically said that. There's no way I would say that to you.
You did. We, by the way, have Emeka's car in the garage with a dead battery for the last 6 months, and I haven't done anything about it either.
Okay, so see, we're similar. We're more alike than we thought. But I'll tell you what I think we can all agree on is that we're probably not going to do this segment again. That I did like your version of things, but still it's when it comes to they're all going to be kid related, I assume. Do you have one ready for next week?
I have one. I could, sure. I mean, good. I would have to. I had two. Because initially, when I thought I'd give you three scenarios potentially, but that's biting off too much. I give you one a week. What would Anthony do?
Yeah. Okay. We'll call it. What would Anthony do? Starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd. Erica will continue to say it in a British accent. That's what that was. British.
Yep.
Erica? That did not sound British. What we learned is Anthony doesn't give a fuck about my answer for whatever he's gonna do.
No, I was just I just knew. I mean, the joke kind of was what I did with my car. Although you did the same with your wife's car. So who's to say? Maybe I should be doing this podcast with Emeka. Is what I think. And that was
What Would Anthony Do, starring Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
So different.
And now it's time for
ad copy.
All right, guys, I've been talking about these people for months. I'm not even going to read the ad. I'm just going to tell you about them because I think they are the best. It's called betterhelp.com. BetterHelp, BetterHelp, not oh, wait, was it Better Health? Yeah, it's Better Health.
Help.
Yeah, it's BetterHelp. You get confused with Better Health. What this is a therapist online. You can email them, get in touch, tell them what you're going through, tell them what kind of person you want to talk to. Do you want to talk to a man or a woman? What expertise do you want them to have? And they will get back to you within 12 hours, 24 hours. You can talk to someone 24 hours a day if you need to, as much as you want, as much as you need. Especially right now, people need to be talking to someone professionally, not just their friend or their neighbor that they give the same answer to every week, or say they're up and down or the same as everyone else. Someone that you can actually like vocalize what you're going through, because everyone is goddamn losing it. That's betterhelp.com. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/JRVP. I cannot stress it enough. There is a stigma attached to seeing a therapist. This takes that away completely. You can do it completely in private, totally secret. No one ever has to know you are seeing a therapist. And even though I do, and I'm proud of it, and I highly recommend everyone do it. Erica too. We all knew that. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JRVP. And that was
ad copy.
Let's get to headlines.
Let's start the news with a Jesselnik request special. These are my favorite. When Anthony sends the link and says, put this at the top of the news.
I feel like these are the ones that always happens the night before, because I'm like in that JRVP headspace and I see a story that I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this right now. But this is a great one. I mean, you guys laughed when I sent it to you.
It is great. It's about a New Jersey police chief who is now facing criminal charges after forcing some of the officers that work under him to work security at a funeral home that he also owns, using their police cars there.
Oh, I didn't realize it was just security. I thought he was like, all right, officer, when you're done with the Peterson case, would you go over to Richardson and Sons and embalm the body? Like, or give him some color to his cheeks.
Sure,
it wasn't that. Like, I mean,
that's it said working, but I think it's security. I think it was mostly, being like a car detail, letting them in and out of the funerals.
But why do they need? Oh, so because of the like when they go to a funeral with the hearses and they've got like the police procedure thing, like
mm-hmm. they got the line and take it right and taking them through the streets with the police cars, you know, to get them back to the funeral home and stuff like that. I think.
Then you know I don't have a problem with it, but I just I just seriously don't. Like, I think if it's for something like that. You need the cops. Like, I've done tours where it's like this giant, huge arena, and a cop car has to get in front of whatever car you're in and get you there. And yeah, it's annoying to someone for 5 seconds, but you've got to get to the thing. So I don't have a problem with that. But I love the idea of just like, oh, it's your first day. You're working under Chief Sarge. Good luck. If you want to, rise through these ranks real quick, you'll learn how to put on a suit by cutting it down the back and tying it over a corpse. That would have been great. Or if he like bought that, he was like, I'm chief now. I've got all these men around me. I'm going to buy a funeral home and just get them to work it for free.
Right. What was the order? Maybe he was the funeral home guy first and then became the police chief. Cause it's like a family. It is an son situation. So it's a family business. It sounds like he became the police chief. He was running for like the county police chief. I think this is going to hurt his case.
So. It'll hurt his case for sure, but I'm not. I thought this was much funnier when it was you're embalming Jacob Zielinski at 7 o'clock, Officer Dave. That would have been way better.
You're maybe greeting the families. It is pretty serious. Yeah. I mean, you're saying like, oh, you don't have a problem with them using the police car, but they're just like stealing public funds. You know, they're like, you know, it's like embezzlement.
What would those police have been doing anyway? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like there was like some crime going on and these guys were stuck at a thing. They probably got overtime or whatever. Like, I like when people use police escorts. You know, a famous musician comes to town from the airport. They get like a police escort that goes, and usually they pay for it. This guy is, you're right, he is stealing. But it's a victimless crime. I say, as long as he's not making them like carry the bodies around. Do you think any of the cops have ever had sex with one of the bodies? Do you think that's one of the things? It's like, hey, you're not going to get paid for this. I want you to get the car, bring it down here. You're going to drive them over, but we'll give you 20 minutes with the bride from Kill Bill if you just keep your mouth shut.
I mean, cops love that shit, right?
They're famous for loving necrophilia.
All right, your team, Anthony, the Pittsburgh Penguins are in the news after admitting that their social media team was photoshopping some face masks on pictures of their fans that were in the stadium. Like, to make the fans look better, they're photoshopping the masks on the fans.
And you to be and I just watched the game tonight. Penguins have won, I think, 5-1 or 4-1 in their last last trip. It's going to be a good season for the Pens. I'm glad I'm watching every game. I did not know about this until you guys sent me the story, and this was just for the social media, right? What I liked about this was, it's pretty obvious Photoshop in a way that you almost like think it's official. Like, it's almost like they're doing it to help the public. You know what I mean? Like, let's make it look like everyone's wearing a mask so people at home think, let's wear masks. The way that like baseball players in a dugout would wear it, where coaches are wearing it even just so people on TV can see them doing it. But did they put them on everyone? Because I think it's funny just if you just see a real uggo. You're like, I love this picture. But Johnny sitting in 19C is just ruining it. So let's just throw a little mask on him. And then they got carried away. You know, was it is there anyone who was just too good looking to put a mask on? Was it that kind of situation?
I mean,
you know, people at hockey games, if you're going to a hockey game during a pandemic, like, you're a special kind of person that maybe it wasn't even about the pandemic. Maybe they were just like, oh, you're going with a goatee. Let me cover that up. You know, I applaud this social media person.
He or she got in trouble, though.
Do you have a problem with it? They got fired.
Why would they get in trouble?
Well, because they went rogue, basically, I guess, and were putting the masks on the people. Yeah, I guess it was more like they didn't want to get these people in trouble. They didn't want to show that they're like allowing people to not have their masks on at the game because they're trying to say that it's like a zero tolerance policy. And they weren't like especially good looking, I wouldn't say, if that's what you're getting at.
No, I'm sure some of them were very good looking, and some of them, but I bet the first person they put the mask on was Dogface City. This reminds me of a story I read this week about an old department store when department stores were like the place you went shopping, where there was a famous one, it's no longer around, where there was a guy whose job it was just to get fired. where he would just sit on the top floor, like reading a newspaper and smoking a pipe, and they would ring a bell when they needed him. And he'd go down to whatever section it was where they had messed something up, and then he'd go to the manager of the floor, and the manager would say, you miscounted Miss Johnson's tea set? She's our most valuable customer, sir. You are fired. And the guy would be like, no, I need this job. And they'd be like, you're fired. She's too important to us. And then he would go back upstairs and like smoke his pipe until he was needed again. And it was like the best job in the world. Just to show that, like, just to show the ultimate customer service that I bet they said they fired this person and they're still there because no one knows. It's some girl who just got out of college.
No, wasn't she trying to protect them? Like, I'm like, we're going to look like assholes if this photo gets out with people without masks on. Like, I kind of see where she was coming from.
Yeah, you can see it.
It's a lie that she got caught in because, I mean, they're showing people at the game who aren't wearing masks. If you see people at sporting events now, not everyone is wearing a mask. So I don't think it's like, it would be weird if they put that picture up. I think they were like, we'd like to use this picture, but too many people aren't wearing masks. And she got caught. It's just like the funeral home. It's not a big deal. It's not a big thing. It's not a big deal.
I mean, if you're going to
go to the game, you wear a mask, you get into the game, you're sitting with your people, you're allowed to take it off to eat and drink or whatever. So it's not bad. There's that photograph of Anthony Fauci, Dr. Fauci, not having his masks down at like a Nationals game. Like you are allowed once you're in that position, but I understand the optics of it, not wanting to put it out there. But again, I think the social media person is just like the New Jersey police chief, didn't really do anything wrong, doesn't deserve to lose their job. Maybe not a promotion, but not lose the job. And I think the Photoshop was pretty bad too. It wasn't great. It looked like everyone had the same like black mask they got for free.
It was pretty obvious. I'm saying if you go to a Penguins game indoors during the middle of the pandemic, on some level, you're fine getting coronavirus. Like you're okay with it, or you've had it.
I will not co-sign. I will not co-sign anti-Pittsburgh sentiment. And the Penguins are they're going to win the cup this year. Mark my words. Mark them.
All right. Our old pal.
Speaking of didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, no.
Our old pal, Papa John, back in the news. This ended up kind of even blowing up even more since we were talking about it, Anthony, that he was on the OWN, OAN TV network in a segment about cancel culture, which is funny on its own. And he was saying that he has been working for the last 20 months to get rid of this N-word in my vocabulary.
Wait, let me go back a second. It was on OAN.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce, like, because OWN is OWN, the Oprah Winfrey Network. There's no way people confuse OAN and OWN. No one's like messing those up. How do you say?
America News Network is what it stands for.
You just say OAN? Yeah.
I don't know. I think you say OWN.
I don't think so. I can't imagine.
No, OWN is Oprah.
It's a terrible name either way. But he's on there.
It's, I mean, this to me is so funny because, and listen, the JRVP is clearly against racial slurs and especially the N-word. If we were going to rank the racial slurs, and we might, you know, instead of doing a mailbag, like if I've got to take a week off, we just do a podcast where we rank the racial slurs from best to worst. The N-word's definitely the worst. He originally got in trouble. Because what was it? He was on a phone call with advertising people or like PR people trying to help him. And he said, Colonel Sanders used to say, and he used the word, and they reported it or told someone, and he was fired. To go on like a redemption tour and say, listen, for the last 20 months, I've been working to stop saying the N word is beyond hilarious. It's like beyond a self OAN. If you get that, good joke. Like if you're like, I say like too much, you know, I'm going to work on that. That's one thing. But 20 months, you're like, hey man, maybe just say like, maybe you're just the kind of person who says like all the time. 20, like, does he get up every day and like try to read Mark Twain? What I don't understand how he's like, does he almost make it to midnight? Does he have a cheat day? What is his process of trying to get the N-word out of his vocabulary? And how often was he using it that we did not hear it before this? Like, I bet that's what he whispered into Peyton Manning's ear after the Super Bowl.
The N-word, just flat out. Just
flat out. Just, and he was like, I meant to say something else. And, you know, I didn't put the work in. I got too excited about the game. And I didn't do my daily meditation. Not to drop the N-word. I mean, imagine still talking about this. I can't, right. Like, what does he think he's going to get back? Like, what does he think is going to happen to Papa John? It's unbelievable.
I mean, he still wears the red shirts. And if you're a longtime listener of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP,
Junior Vice President.
You know, we've followed Papa John through his ups, through his downs, even back when it was RJVP. I like that he made it clear like it was arduous work. Like this, like he was.
he's doing tongue twisters. Sally sells seashells down by the seashore, like just desperately trying to get it from coming out of his mouth.
Like he said, okay, so he said in the context. I was like, if you listen in context, does it make any more sense? And he said he had like one of three goals through this whole process the last 20 months. So it's like he was making the point. It's not the only thing I'm working on, but this is one of my three goals.
What? Oh. Like I hope the other two are also like racially related.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stop grabbing women's asses and stop trying to tongue kiss my daughter. Because that and the N-word, I'm taking 20 months. Like 20 months?
That's a long time.
Do you love anything more than like he used to love using the N-word or still does, I guess?
I mean, Papa John's pizza, maybe. Now it's time for
ad copy.
Lucy Nicotine. It's a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, a tobacco alternative that does not suck. It's been researched and developed for 3 years. It's like Papa John trying not to use the N-word. It's like they took even longer than that to make this. They've created nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine in 3 different flavors, wintergreen with cinnamon and pomegranate. They got a lozenge, 4 milligrams of nicotine and cherry ice flavor. Tastes great. It's convenient and discreet. You can pop them all day long, and it comes to you. You just set it up so every week or two you get a big package, so you don't have to go out to the store and run out and have a nicotine fit, which is the worst thing in the world. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. Just think about how sexy I sound when I read this. It's so simple, and yet you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down. The Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project, JRVP,
Junior Vice President.
Listeners, go to lucy.co. Use promo code JRVP to get 20% off all products on your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning. Warning, partner. This product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co. Be sure to use that promo code, JRVP. And that was
ad copy.
Nailed it. Look, we've done so much for Lucy. Whoever named them Lucy Nicotine Gum did not do as much for them as we have.
Mm.
Whoever actually makes the gum does not do as much. Whoever buys the nicotine in bulk to make it affordable to make gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine in it does not do what we do.
That ad read was a journey. You know, it started in one place, ended in a totally different one.
I know. I got bored. And I thought, you know, when I get bored, I go right into seduction.
All right, let's go.
Speaking of right into seduction.
Yeah, please.
What's our next headline, Greg?
Let's talk about this pastor from Missouri who had to take a leave of absence this week after getting into trouble for a sermon he gave in which he suggested to the wives in his audience that they should lose some weight and generally just look less butch.
He was telling the wives, like not women who weren't married. He was like the wives of the women, like you need to be a good wife, lose weight,
It was a whole lot of like, I have some quotes, but you know, why is it so many times, you know, that women after they get married let themselves go? That basically like women were not doing their wifely duties by like keeping their men interested by gaining weight.
It's so funny that a pastor would say this of all people. Like, oh, pastor, please tell me more about what marriage is like. Also, like, did he get – were people booing in the sermon? Like, was it afterwards people started, like, talking about what he said? Because I've been to church, and they are tuning out the sermon 99% of the time, unless he says something that's, like, offensive at all or crazy, that I wonder if everyone – people, like, immediately started mumbling, or it wasn't until afterwards they told someone who doesn't even go to that church who flipped out. And had this blow up.
No, it sounded more like it got passed around on Facebook, and that basically he's been giving similar type sermons over the years because the church had to like they deleted everything. They deleted their Twitter account, they deleted their Facebook, all this stuff. But people like found all these old videos he had where he basically was doing bits about fat women all the time. He just loved it.
So it's like a church just for guys with ugly wives to bring their wives to try to clean them up. So if you like can't tell your wife like, hey, you've got to slim down, you're like, let's go to church. Let's see what God has to say about it. Oh, we don't have the kick in the marriage. Let's bring God into this and see what he has to say and bring him over to Father McCready, who's going to let her know. I mean, this is so funny to me that you would have the balls to bring your wife to something like this.
Well,
imagine the drive home being like, that was a good sermon today, wasn't it, honey? I thought the chorus was a little off, but that sermon, that really hit home.
I mean, and the guy, of course, was not like a looker. He looked like me if I was like 6'5" with like a huge in like 200 pounds more, and like he was not a thin guy either.
I was not the stereotypical handsome jacked pastor that spends the entire sermon telling women to slim down. Like he's just looking out disgusted at what he sees. It's so funny.
Well,
it's so funny to be a man of God and then be like, God, you think you're getting into heaven in that size? You're out of your mind. Run a marathon. You fat, ugly woman I wouldn't be allowed to marry even if I wasn't a pastor.
Here is one of the quotes from the sermon last week. He was saying, now look, I'm not saying every woman can be the epic trophy wife of all time like Melania Trump. I'm not saying that at all. Not everyone looks like that. Can I get an amen? But you don't need to look butch either.
Butch.
That's it. What?
Oh, I want to hear more about Melania Trump. I want to hear him just go on and like describe her from the podium.
I like the idea that like Melania Trump is his vision of like, oh yeah, there's someone who oozes raw sexuality. Melania.
But it would have been funnier if it had been any woman else. Like, listen. I know we can't all be Katherine Mannheim, all right, in the 90s, but listen.
Cameron? I think it was Cameron.
I think it was Katherine Mannheim. Was it Cameron Mannheim? I think she's dead. I don't think it matters. She wrote a book. I think she's dead.
I think a lot of these pastors want to be stand-up comics, too. There was another line or another video they found from a few years ago, and he used a line where he said, like, scientists have discovered, by the way, a food that diminishes the woman's sex drive. It's called the wedding cake. It's
just like, see, I don't know. I don't think pastors want to be stand-up comedians as much as like if there's ever laughter in a church, that it's such a huge event that if they have film, they put it online forever because it's like, oh my God. And pastors, if they ever get a laugh, they ever have a joke. If a priest or pastor ever tells a joke that gets a laugh, they're telling that joke a million times for the rest of their lives. They're addicted. There's nothing worse. Nothing worse than a priest trying to make a joke. I would always get so mad. Because people would kind of be like, huh, like a polite chuckle. I'm like, you know that bombed. You know you just bombed, and now you're just going to sit up here and tell me how fat my mom is? No. I don't think so. My mom's a beautiful woman, by the way. I'm saying like if I was a kid in this guy's church, that's what I would be like. Mom, don't get mad at me for that.
Right. No, we've established that. If we've established one thing on this season of JRVP, it's that your mom is a looker. It's come up a few times. It's come up a few times. Yeah, you've talked about how good looking she is a few times. I mean, it's a fact. It's a fact.
My mom's incredible.
Get her some of that Lucy gum.
She doesn't smoke, does she?
Greg's look of frustration, even though he led her into nothing. There was no, we could have all done that same gesture to Greg. My mom's beautiful, okay?
Give us some music, please. Cut
my mom,
around
my
this.
My mom's so beautiful, there doesn't need to be a heaven. Because you can just look at my mom when you die. People get buried with pictures of my mom. So maybe that it's like they're in heaven, unless they're like a child molester. Then they get to like, they show it right as they're shoveling dirt over it. So they get to see it one last time and like see what they could have had. And then they have to spend all of eternity looking at darkness instead of that photograph. It's just how pretty my mom is. She's a pretty woman. I'm talking about now. I'm not even talking about back in the day. I'm talking about like she still is getting it done at 65.
Well, maybe our next news headline guy who unfortunately passed away can be buried with your mom.
It's like you didn't hear anything I said. I'm not talking about my mom gets buried with people. Like the picture.
I meant the picture. That's what I meant.
It's not the same picture either.
We're not going to bury her alive. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be a picture of your mom with this Florida golfer. this Florida golfer who died last week after drowning in a pond while he was in the process of searching for a missing golf ball.
See, now, let me tell you, like, first of all, I did not know that they recovered the body when you said he's going to be buried with my mom's picture. But when I first saw the headline, I thought he died. Like, he was like, oh, I hit it into the water. I got to go get it and drown and die. And I'm like, that's the dumbest way you can die. And then they said, I don't know if you read the story, he wandered off and they couldn't find him. And they came over and just saw like his cart and a putter on the ground next to the water. And then I guess they must have dove in and found him and pulled him out. And I assume heart attack and fell into the water and died. Maybe he technically drowned. There's no way he just like, unless he was remarkably unathletic. I know he was 72 years old, but he tripped backwards and fell into the pond and that was it. He couldn't tread a little bit. I think I'm saying heart attack.
Well, yeah, maybe he couldn't swim. I mean, he's reaching down for the ball. He puts down his putter. He like sees the ball. He reaches down. He like trips and he somehow gets stuck underwater.
Maybe he hit his head.
Or he hits his head. Yeah. And then
or an alligator. The
I think it's like the suicidal Irish exit where you'll be like, I'll be right back. Yeah. Then you go and kill yourself. Like he's been thinking about it for a while and he's like, I just want to get in like a couple rounds. And then I'm like, you know what? I'll bring it back. And he was just like staring into the water and thought, this is it. I'm going to load my pocket up with golf balls and jump into this pond. And then they're going to come looking for me. It's a pretty good way to do it. And I bet no one's ever thought of it before.
I mean, isn't it the worst way to do it though? Like, isn't that, you know, drowning is kind of known as, you know, one of the worst ways. I mean, is that really how you want to go out? Like,
it's scary. It's only painful for a second. And then it's very peaceful. Apparently fire is the worst. I've heard drowning is actually one of the better ones. It wouldn't be my choice, but I think it would be a funny thing to do. If it's like, you've got to drown yourself, I would be like, okay, I'm going to play golf with my brother. We have never played golf together. I'm gonna be like, oh, you know, I'll be right back. I'm gonna run to that snack bar and then throw myself into a pond.
Yeah, that would be terrible to be in his. It would be terrible to be in his group. Like, did they finish their round?
Like, I'm gonna hide and seek. Hey guys, just hold right here. I know they're getting impatient behind us, but just wait. Wait 1 second.
Play through, guys.
I'll be right back. Yeah. Irish goodbye suicide. I think that's gonna be something that you can look out for me in the coming years.
At least he went out doing what he loved, like struggling for air because his 7-iron couldn't carry 150 yards.
I think he was dead before he hit the water. 72 golfing like that. I don't think it's bad. But if he did die by suicide, it was a good way to. It was a good way to go out. Again, that's betterhelp.com. And now it's time for
Choo-choo
Recommendation Station. Greg, what do you got for us this week?
I'm going to do a rare thing where I recommend a book you already did on Recommendation Station. I don't care. It's Earthlings.
Before you even say it, I want to say that I think we should be allowed to do that. Yeah, because I'm reading a book right now that I'm going to recommend next week that you've definitely recommended. That's a double recommendation. Getting a double. It doesn't say anything other than you have to read this book.
Right, exactly. It's like a quadruple recommendation. It's called Earthlings by Sayaka Murata, and I'm giving a quadruple because my friend Dave read it, Emeka read it. We all have slightly different book tastes. There's plenty of crossover, but the fact that it hit a home run with all four of us is great. I know it made your top five list. You know, it's weird. It's a quick read. It's dark. It does not fuck around. There's some taboos. You know, it's thought provoking, but not too heavy or anything. I'm a huge fan of Sayaka Murata. I love Convenience Store Woman, which she wrote and came out about 3 years ago too. And this was called Earthlings.
I'll have to read Convenience Store Woman. I have not read that. I would think, like, again, I'm leaving out your wife and your friend from their recommendation. But if there ever is a triple recommendation, where like Erica gets it together and reads something that Greg and I have already double recommended, that would be an all time.
I might do. Well, no, I don't.
I think she might like Earthlings. I think she. That's what I think. It's a crowd pleaser.
I don't know if you'd like it, but you could get through it pretty easily. What I'm coming with next week, you'll never crack. Do you have a recommendation for this week?
Well, it's actually, I'm glad that we covered this because I was going to say I've been just sitting, you know, out here in Florida, out back in the yard, and I've read Little Eyes by Samantha Schweblin. I read it my first day, just one day. I could not put it down, Anthony. It was so good.
Right? It's amazing. And when you find a book that you can read in a day like that, you're like, oh, this is not just like easy to read because it's
no,
you know, it written was for a kid. It's like, it's actually great. And you tear through it. Did it make you miss? Did you bring your dog to
I did. Yeah,
okay, so sure. You had him there. Yeah, yep. I mean, that was the book that made me want a pet. Both great books that I've recommended in the past. My book is something that I read in the beginning of lockdown, and I thought I had already recommended, and I was going back to find something to recommend this week, and I picked The Glass Kingdom by Lawrence Osborne. I know last year I was always talking about The Glass Hotel, which was one of my favorite books of the year, but this is The Glass Kingdom by Lawrence Osborne. It's about a woman who commits a crime, steals some money and goes away to like a South American country to like hide away and live amongst the kind of the locals and these people who live in like the nice part of the town in this kind of this glass hotel. And in movies, I feel like you always see people like that. Like they run away and that's where they get the escape to and they live their lives. But what happens to them once they get there? You know, not everyone there is friendly. And it was a very, it was a great book. I remember reading a review where they were like, I thought the title was terrible. Until I realized the book is about the hotel, which is the Glass Kingdom, and not the characters themselves. But a great read, a great noir, fun read with a kick-ass ending, which I love. So read The Glass Kingdom by Lawrence Osborne. And now it's time for the sign-off. I know we've been talking about doing a cameo thing. We kind of chickened out on it. I felt bad asking someone cool to do it, and then I felt lame asking someone lame to do it. So it's probably just going to be, maybe I'll get my brother's girlfriend to do one for us. We'll see in the future. But for now, we're sticking with Walker. So Walker, get us out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado. That's a spicy meatball.